Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on The Score.
Big news regarding Robinson Cano. The Mariners' second baseman will be suspended for 80 games for violating MLB's PED policy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Frowned upon.
You know the other part of this Robinson Cano story that's fun? Who's coming up to replace him?
It's not good.
Gordon Beckham here to stay.
Well, that's one positive we can take out of this.
Finally getting that fifth chance he needed.
Jones is on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over.
A lot of people in Chicago think Gordon is the man in this ball club. Bunch of crap. He's not.
The last thing we worry about is bacon. And we have bacon here, we're in trouble.
I just want to use your love tonight.
I think he's mechanically flawed, yes. And he has changed a number of times.
Sometimes I say God bless. You know, I get so frustrated that I gotta say it.
High fly to left is hit well. Going back to the track. Along the fence jumps. Home run! Sox win! Sox win on a Beckham home run!
Sometimes I say God bless!
He went from the dungeon to the castle with that homer.
Obviously, we have sent Gordon Beckham to the Los Angeles Angels in exchange for a player to be named later, or cash. I can't get into great detail about the identity or potential identity of the player to be named later.
The longer I manage this ball club, and he is nobody's the man. It's 25 men out there.
As you leave me, please watch you close the door. And don't forget what I told you.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. New in the afternoons, 1 to 6. On 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
That's your guy, Danny Mac.
Yeah, if my hair could have had a son, it would have had Gordon Beckham's hair. I miss talking about bass fishing and hitting the opposite way with Gordon Beckham. I sure don't miss the sounds of the outfield, though. Woo! Mercy! That's a reminder of when Gordon would stride to the plate and you'd have to hear that. Not a huge fan, necessarily.
No, I could understand why. And yeah, that is...
Can you?
Yeah.
Sure you can.
I can understand. Why not? Sure. Nice little ancillary benefit, though, yeah, of the Robinson Cano steroid suspension.
Sure.
More Gordon Beckham in
our
lives.
Just let me know when you want him on the show, and I'll text him. Okay. He might be the only current Major League Baseball player I have a number for.
That's not good.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Ooh. I was just curious, with those talks with Gordon, I remember Georgia football coming up time and time again. I remember bass fishing. You actually spoke about him hitting Major League pitching?
The spring of 2010, Shep, and into the summer of that season on the Mac and Speed show was tougher than... I gave him credit for showing up every Tuesday or whatever day of the week it was. But God, that was painful because he was going so awful. You run out of things. Well, what are you going to do this week to stop being awful, Gordo?
Right. It's a little uncomfortable when he's not popular with the fans.
Yeah, I had to make the open each week. And it was like, all right, he had a very soft single on last Wednesday that I guess we'll be playing.
Remember that time you had that single? That was great.
That was awesome. That you was looked so awesome. Confident, kid.
Yeah. A little awkward. Yeah, at least Albert Almora is still good.
Yes, he is.
Right, you know what I mean? For the weekly.
Took another walk last night.
I know.
You know, the first four hitters in the Cubs lineup last night walked. They've improved radically. Their on-base percentage is up, up, up. OPS, up, up, up.
And Albert Elmora, a little motivation maybe, huh, from the conversation yesterday? Nice double off a righty in the ninth inning.
Yes.
Rally, comeback, win. That was the Chili Davis special. Albert Elmora with a hit against a righty. Addison Russell, Jim Deshays called it his best at-bat of the season.
Yes, he did say that last night.
And then Ben Zobrist was vintage, driving home the go-ahead run, just going where the pitch was.
Like it's the blue shoes. He's back.
Yeah, against the closer, on the road, coming from behind. That's what Chili Davis was brought here to do,
win. It is a nice win, and you win the game despite yet another hiccup. There we are back on hiccups. For the $122 million acquisition, Yu Darvish, who again was, he only gave up one run in those four innings, but he was struggling to find the plate again last night. And then the leg cramp set in.
Yeah, the results, you know, whatever, they're fine. Like one run, four innings, whatever. Like not going to go crazy over the results of any one start, but I felt so blindsided by last night, even though we've been talking about it for a while.
Like, really?
Well, yeah, because
I was expecting worse, to be honest.
Okay, well, that's fine. I guess, like, I was like, wait, now it's leg cramps? It was forearm cramps, and it was walking the pitcher, and it was a balk, and it was game planning, and it was the flu, but now it's cramps in the legs. Yeah. Like, I didn't see it coming. When he talked with Joe talked with Dan and Connor yesterday, you know, it was like, yeah, he's good to go. 100 pitches, 110 pitches, no problem. And I'm watching the game, and I got the basketball game and the Cubs game on, and I'm going back and forth with sounds based on commercials or what's happening in the game. I'm focusing more when Darvish is pitching because that's the bigger story. Then I'm focusing on LeBron when he's got the ball. That's the big story. And he was fine. And then all of a sudden he was gone, and Mike Montgomery was on my screen.
What's going on? You walk back in the room, and there he is, 38's throwing.
And I was like, okay, did I miss something about a pitch count before the game? And then I went back and I was like, no, I didn't. And so now it's just, we have to add it to the list of things for Yu Darvish.
I hope we stop putting things on that list. It would be nice if, I mean, at this point, I think it's far too early to lower the bar radically for your expectations of him.
Yeah.
But
you got it for 6 years.
Well, and you got to forget about that right now and just see if he can be a number three, because he ain't even been that right now.
No, you've got to get him to a point where you feel comfortable giving him the ball in playoff games. That's what you signed him for. You signed him, in theory, like when Lester's done, to be your number one or number two, right? Like him and Hendricks.
Yeah.
He's got a better profile than Quintana. Like it should be maybe as soon as next season, Hendricks, Darvish, Quintana. And he ain't that right now.
No.
And so which is bad seven starts. This is what Jim Hickey said to, I thought, a good question by Brian Hanley.
Is he lacking any confidence or you know, worried about how the season started for him?
Well, it's a fair question, and it's really only something that he can answer. I don't detect any kind of a lack of confidence in him. As a matter of fact, quite the contrary. He's pretty confident in everything that he does. I hate to sit here we are, whatever, seven starts into the season, and I'm making excuses again, and I'm not making excuses, but there just hasn't been much continuity at all to his season. And a lot of that is his own doing, but there hasn't been a lot of just the kind of normalcy, the routine that you need to get into a little bit of a groove. And as he's back now from the disabled list and hopefully healthy for the remainder of the season, the weather turns and things start to being a little bit more normal, I would just think that you're going to see more production. I know you're going to see more production, but I don't think it's for any kind of a lack of confidence. I just really think this normalcy going forward is going to help him a lot.
The best part of that answer for me, and I'm curious what your takeaway was when he said some of it by his own doing in terms of why
and
the season hasn't been normal.
Elaborate on it.
Yeah, but it was like, so it's not just the weather. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not just that, and it's not just getting the flu. Like, some of this has been his own doing as to why his season hasn't been normal. Yes, I would like to know what specifically he has done.
Letting a balk get inside his head.
Right, letting
that's probably one of the things he's thinking of when he says that. I love the I'm not going to make excuses for him and then start making excuses for him.
Which
that
is what coaches
make
do.
That doesn't make it any less true, but it's still an excuse that there was no normalcy. There wasn't normalcy for a lot of guys. It hasn't stopped some others from succeeding.
Correct, of course. And it's just, I didn't see leg cramps coming. Like I was willing to see him get rocked. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't want another excuse that just felt so like flimsy and random and relatively mild.
Well, you remember how annoying it was when it happened to Carlos Zambrano all the time back in the day? Oh,
yeah.
He's pitching well. He's mowing down the Cardinals, and he's out in the fourth inning because he didn't hydrate before the game. It's like, that's twice this year.
Right, he's on instant messenger too much.
That, yeah, that was one of them, too. He's talking with his friends over internet.
It's a good win, though, last night against a very good team. And the ninth inning was incredibly exciting. The defense the Cubs played last night, several occasions, was very exciting. It's great seeing plays at the plate, and we had a couple of them last night.
Yeah, I think anytime you get a win on the road against a good team when you played poorly,
you take it.
Right? And of course. So, yeah, very good win, and I thought the ninth inning at-bats were spectacular. But they were throwing the ball all over the field. Like, you get mad about defensive miscues.
How about the great arm of Kyle Schwarber? How about that 7-2 putout? Man, that guy can chuck it.
Yes, he can. I'm just saying. It was like
that guy still running that he threw out?
Yeah, he was... He was lollygagging a little bit. He was taking his time. I'm pacing myself, Sarge.
I thought that was Sid Bream in a Braves uniform.
Sid Bream?
Not.
It's a dinosaur.
Yeah. 1987. I'm a dinosaur.
No, you're fine.
No, Sid Bream, 92. The play
was
to
it
beat,
92?
Yeah, the play to beat the
play.
Pirates. Yeah. Or maybe it was 91 or 92. It was one of them.
It's a famous play.
I want to say it was the last game Barry Bonds played as a pirate, and there's Sid Bream slow-ass rounded third base in slow motion.
I'll screen the call, Shep. You come on in here. You guys
talk about early 90s Braves.
I just
Lemke for you, Parco.
My bad.
I'll raise you a Jeff Blauser.
Mm.
Oh, killed the Cubs while he was a Brave? Killed the Cubs while he was a Cub?
While he was a Cub. Exactly.
Couldn't get a bunt down in the 98 playoff series.
That reference brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing.
Just laughing so much. If I'm going to get the Jurassic Park theme on things that have happened in your lifetime.
I mean, 1987. Boy, I was born in 86.
Right, well, it's in your lifetime.
It's
you know, I mean, God forbid I would reference something that happened in the 60s. My goodness, we got to find Jurassic Park music.
It's a dinosaur.
I don't even care. I think the drop is so funny.
A waffling, an entitled waffling dinosaur. Can't do it today during the 4 o'clock hour.
That's true. We also have to address something else at some point about the show and what we wanted to do in the 4 o'clock hour going on. We involve Shep. We got a lot to do today. But coming up next, Vinny Goodwill was a selected member of the media to be inside the lottery room. So we'll talk to him about that process and if the tank worked. Now, was it worth it? Because it was the right idea to tear it down and start over. They weren't going to win a title with the old team. But did they get enough return on the plan? We'll talk to Vinny Goodwill coming up on The Score.
You're always hoping for the best. Something, you know, good fortune comes your way. But it didn't. And, but, you know, being, like I said earlier, there's 6-7. We'll find somebody we like.
John Paxson will join us later on today, but Vinny Goodwill joins us now. NBC Sports Chicago, NBA reporter, Bulls insider at V Goodwill on Twitter. Vinny, I feel lied to by you, my friend. You told me that the draft lottery was going to be rigged for the Bulls because it was here in Chicago, and then I find out that you're one of the select few that gets to see the draft, and it wasn't, in fact, rigged. What happened?
What happened was the day after the season ended, the Bulls and Kings had a coin flip, and had that coin flip gone the other way, the Bulls would have the second pick in the draft, and therefore they would have had a chance at Luka Doncic or DeAndre Ayton or secure the Bagley, but they won the coin flip, therefore losing and nullifying my actual prediction. So if you think about it, I was actually right. I just couldn't quantify exactly what was going to happen on April 13th.
You flipped it, Mac.
Yeah, flip you for real. Vincent, it's good to talk to you. I'm a fan of yours. I like your work on Sports Talk Live, and you bring it and you stick to your convictions. Sitting next to former Bulls calling Scottie Pippen 1.8, I get the impression that wherever the Bulls would be picking, and they're picking 7th, that you wouldn't have a whole lot of faith in this outfit to do the right thing. Is that an accurate perception of how you feel about this team?
I think faith would be, not having faith would be a strong term, but I would say there's a reason to have doubt. It's not necessarily just because it's the Bulls, but because of the fact that the draft in itself is a crapshoot. And there's only but so much information that we know about these guys. And, I mean, if you look at the draft that we just had, you know, Donovan Mitchell could be the best player out of that. And he went 14. And Lauri Markkanen could be, you know, a top five guy. He went 7. So it's a crapshoot there. And if you are in a position where you are drafting for need as opposed to taking the best player available, that can get you in some serious trouble. The Bulls are saying they're not going to do that. But there's always a temptation to say, hey, we need a wing. Let's go get the best wing on the board, as opposed to saying, hey, let's go get the best player on the board, mm-hmm. and we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah, but Vinny, I know it's a crapshoot, but I don't love that argument. Like, well, last year Donovan Mitchell was 13, so therefore you got the just as good of a chance of getting the best player in the draft at 13 as 1 or 7 as 1. Like, that's just not true. If you
I'm not saying that that's going to happen. There's a reason that that's an option, because it doesn't, you know, happen very often. Yeah, you can find Kawhi Leonard at 15, Donovan Mitchell at 14, and Jimmy Butler in the last pick in the first round, but those are the exceptions, not the rules. And with what the Bulls wanted to accomplish this season and what we all knew that they were doing for the better part of the last 2.5 months of the season, sliding down a pick has to be mildly disappointing, if not a complete disaster.
Right. I'm phrasing it like this. Was it worth it to tank? Yes, because they weren't going to win a title with the old core. But did the tank work? No.
Well, here's the thing that people don't always take into account with situations like this. When you go after Jimmy Butler and the money that he was going to be due in an extension, that's money the Bulls are keeping in their pocket. Expectations that are not going to be assigned to this coach or this front office that's been in place for the better part of the last 15 years or so. So when you hit the reset button on the franchise, you hit the reset button, you know, on the front office, and therefore you're allowed to have more, quote-unquote, patience to build without the margin for error. But the problem is, in my opinion, something has happened in the NBA that the Bulls could not have foreseen when you talk about long plans. These kids that come into the league at 20, 19, 21 years old, they're ready to play at the highest level, and they don't need 2 or 3 years of seasoning to gradually build up before playing big boy ball. You look at the Celtics. You look at the 76ers. Yeah, there are some special players up there, but there's also a lot of young players who don't need a whole lot of experience to show that they belong. And if you factor that into the Bulls and their plan, you can't say, oh, you need this draft, you need the next draft, you need another draft, and then you'll be ready to rock. They have almost found themselves in a very similar position than they were this time last year.
Vincent, which player or players on the Bulls roster as it is constructed today would you say you have a high level of confidence in to be key contributors on a good team? Not an okay team, a really good team, a team that can vie for the East.
I mean, it's hard to say at this point if Lauri Markkanen is a number one or number two guy on a team that's going to be really, really good, that's going to compete with the Phillies and the Bostons and maybe even the Milwaukees if they get it together, you know, over the next, you know, not past the next 2 or 3 years, but beyond that. Or even a guy like Zach LaVine, who still has a lot to prove once he actually gets healthy. Like, to me, those are the questions when you're assigning roles to a core. Like, the numbers look good because everybody can get numbers on a bad team. You know what I'm saying? Like, Chris Dunn can get 16-8, or Bobby Portis can get 16-10. But if it's not in the context of winning, and if it's not in the context of trying to figure out how you fit in the circle of winning, I don't know how much you really accomplish. What you've shown is that, hey, these guys can play. Like, they're functional NBA basketball players. But if you don't know how you're going to slot them going forward, then that's the problem that you have. And I don't know if it's necessarily a problem. You just have incomplete information at the moment. Are you going to stick to this patience of trying to figure out where these guys fit next season? Or do you you have a little bit of temptation to say, hey, these guys should be able to mature and develop into a playoff type of situation next season based off of what you see in the East.
Vinny Goodwill from NBC Sports Chicago with us talking Bulls and the lottery. Who do you think they're going to take at 7?
Someone not a corpse, maybe. I mean, I'm not sure. I would say there's three main players in the draft, right? I think we can all say that it's Doncic and it's Ayton and it's Bagley, and maybe even Bagley's a half step behind, you know, the top two. And after when you get past that, when you start talking about 4 through 6, and maybe Jaren Jackson develops into maybe the best player in the draft. Like, there's people who've told me they think Jaren Jackson's going to be the best player in this draft 3 or 4 years from now. What if he falls? Would you take him and let him develop? What
yes.
if it's Mikal Bridges? Everybody, once again, everybody's saying, well, they need a wing, so why not just take Mikal Bridges and slot him in there? It doesn't work like that. Like, you have to be very, very careful with that. If I'm the Bulls and I'm John Paxson, I'm saying whatever the best player is based off the workouts and interviews and everything else, and I have my concerns about Michael Porter Jr., and I have to see how those medicals check out. But I'm very curious to see how things go over the next couple of days at the combine. I'm not going to tie myself down to one guy or another, because at 7, you're really not in an advantageous position based off of the high-level talent.
My argument is going to be they need to take a swing for a star on the best team, right? So, like, I have a high degree of risk tolerance for this pick, and I hope that John Paxson does too. So I would say whoever on his board has the highest ceiling, even if he has an injury concern or a low floor, that's the guy I want them to take. Do you think that John Paxson has any shot of thinking that way also?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think that when you've been at this for, you know, what, the better part of 15 years, and you want to be able to compete, I don't know if you necessarily go for a guy who can have a high bust factor.
Well, then how are they going
to
get a star?
Accountable for that.
Then where is the best player on a title team coming from? Because if they take a player who's just safe and plays immediately next year, then you add him to Dunn, LaVine, Markkanen, next year's team isn't picking better than 7th. So how do they get the best player on a title team if they don't go for it with this asset?
I think they look at it as if we didn't have a lot of time. This is them, I believe, speaking to themselves. We didn't have a lot of time with our main guys developing this past season. They only, you know, Markkanen and Dunn, LaVine only played 255 minutes together, whatever that, you know, the round number was. So I think they're looking at it as maybe Markkanen is their quote-unquote number one option, as opposed to, okay, Ayton or Doncic if they get, you know, really, really lucky. Like, when you're at 7 and you want it to be at 1, 2, or 3, you convince yourself a whole bunch of different arguments than you had a month ago when you were really hoping to get one of those top 3 picks. So maybe you talk yourself into saying Lowry, marketing and positionless basketball develops into a Dirk type of player, and Dirk was the best player on the title team. Like, you can't deny that. So I don't know if you take a swing at 7. Because, like you said, even if you take a swing at 7 and you miss, guess how long it's going to take you to figure out that you missed? You don't know that you drafted a corpse at least for 2 or 3 years, because you're going to give a guy a chance to develop. The question is, do you have the stomach for that? Does the fan base have the stomach for that? Does the Reinsdorf family have the stomach for that? Those are the questions you have to ask yourself, aside from just high risk, high bust factors, a lot of other external factors that come into this.
It was good stuff at NBC Sports Chicago on his Twitter page. You could check it out, being inside the room for the draft lottery. Good insight, Vinny. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Vinny.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Always love talking hoops with him. I just don't know how you get a star. Yeah, they've got financial flexibility, so you could say trade for one, but they got to accumulate good assets to trade for a star. I don't see it happening. Thank you, David Schuster. The segment of McNeil and Parkins brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Another setback for the White Sox, as Shu just told you. They fall to 10-29. They open the day with a winning percentage of .263. Already the worst in baseball. They've dropped even a few more points. Oh, no.
Oh, Baltimore's passed them? In the race to the bottom? Or they've passed Baltimore, whatever it might be?
Yeah, I believe so.
How about that? Like, well, And I assume you're getting frustrated with the talk of future development here?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to use your term. And in fact, I'm going to get a t-shirt that says intellectually bankrupt on it. I love that.
Okay.
It is intellectually bankrupt to pass off the Sox problems this year by noting, this is a rebuild. Look, they did it on the north side. The Astros did it. Kansas City. No, stop. Because some of the key components of that rebuild are crapping the bed every time out. One of them can't stay in one piece. Jake Berger was last year's number one pick, and right now you have to wonder, seriously, if he's ever going to be able to heal that Achilles. That's two in a year.
Yeah, I mean, luck, though, right? Like, rupturing an Achilles.
I'm not saying it's his fault. Yeah. It's just that doesn't bode well for his future, the White Sox future. You got Carson Fulmer, your first rounder in 2015.
Yep.
Who's the eighth pick overall. You're counting on him to be a part of this, and he's been terrible.
Not a particularly good way to start.
No, it hasn't been. And the mistakes they make, the manager and some of his curious, it's tough to manage that outfit, though, because they're not very good. I understand that. But they don't seem to be getting better. They still make mistakes on the bases. They still misjudge fly balls, make the third out of the inning at third base. I get tired of watching it.
I understand. I don't think, unless you're among the diehards, that you need to be watching it day in and day out. Like, I'll just be honest with you. Like,
you don't do that.
I just, you know, if it's going to drive you crazy like that, because I think some of the pieces, like I still think Moncada profiles out to have such a high offensive ceiling.
Maybe. And then who else? What are the other key components to this good team? We spent the first hour talking about the Bulls and what they have to do, how many stars eventually they have already on the roster. How about the White Sox? Yolmer Sanchez?
Well,
like watching him play, but I'm not so sure I want to put all my faith in Yolmer Sanchez.
No, he's starting to make a case, though, that he might be around when they're good, right? Like, he's kind of in that Matt Davidson role of, like, I didn't think about him before the year as necessarily a piece of the puzzle when they're good, but now maybe you know what I mean?
He's like, scrappy. Yeah, we like scrappy.
Well, listen, in baseball, right, 25 guys, you need more than that to win. So like if you just find pieces that you can start plugging and play, it's less that you need to do when you spend money on this whole thing, right? Like, they're not spending money right now, which is good. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to play a young, cheap team and develop them. So yeah, Yolmer Sanchez has been a bright spot, but again, not a huge focal point. To me, Moncada and Lopez. Right?
Yeah, and Lopez got lit up last night. Bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a fight at the bat rack in the Pirates' dugout last night. You know, the White Sox had the worst whip in Major League Baseball going
that,
into
that
today.
Checks out.
Yeah, 1.57 as a team that going checks. Into just awful.
People told us we were suckers for that over bet on the White Sox
yes,
at 60
did.
At 68.
We were warned.
You think they hit 60?
They're not trending toward that.
Well,
no.
I know that. I realize.
Trending toward 35?
Yeah.
How much better does Eloy and Kopech make them once they get up here?
I mean, they make them more interesting, but not necessarily better.
Not like
right?
a grand total. No. Not win loss wise, it's not going to be a ton.
Right. It doesn't swing them. You know, a ton.
Wins and losses. Yeah. By that point, they certainly won't matter, and we'll be out of it. But
if they have a fighting chance at 68, we're still interested.
Yeah, they don't have a fighting chance at 68.
I don't mind a team losing as long as it doesn't lose stupidly and the guys who are supposed to be here when they get good are playing like major league stars.
Right,
or
if they were losing,
potentially.
If they were losing but Moncada, Giolito, and Lopez were all crushing
it,
then it'd be much more palatable.
Yes.
But there's going to be growing pains. And also, the thing with, like, I was thinking about Moncada, right? Man, eventually he'll have Eloy hitting behind him. Like, I don't know, people come out on different ends of the spectrum with, like, lineup protection and how much it matters, but he's kind of just there. Like, he's just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not exactly,
surrounded.
Like, so, like, now, I don't think that they'll sign Machado. I think that they're going to do their damnedest to do it. But, like, say this offseason, all of a sudden, in the lineup with Moncada, it's Eloy Jimenez and Josh Donaldson. Gets a lot easier for them to produce runs 2, 3, 4 as opposed to what it is right now.
I think in 5 or 6 weeks, if they haven't done so already, the White Sox would be doing themselves a tremendous benefit if they would start looking for a buyer
for Abreu.
Yeah, I mean, that's at some point that's going to happen. They value him so much for the clubhouse stuff, and then you have to also wonder at that position how much actual trade value is there, right? A lot of teams have a good player over there. It's just it's hard to figure out a way to say, what would you need to get for Jose Abreu? Because you're not getting organizational top 10, top 15 prospects in the sport. You'll get nice
picks, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. But you're not going to get, but you want pieces that are ready to contribute sooner than that. Like, I hope the White Sox are ready to be, at least make a push for 500 next year. Like, I hope that this thing is accelerated, that they spend money this offseason, that the rest of the prospects that get called up in July, August, and September play well. And you feel a lot better about this the second half of the season, because you can't feel much worse about it the first half.
No, this is the conversation that you try to talk yourself into on your long journey back to the middle. And a texter noting, take it easy. Lopez is 24. I didn't mention Lopez. Ronaldo Lopez is one of the bright spots, might be the only bright spot in that starting rotation, the entire pitching staff this year.
Yeah, I think Giolito's going to be fine. Tim Anderson's a piece, right? And with upside.
Probably not a shortstop, I don't think, but a piece.
Yeah, maybe. It's a whole bunch of, I don't know. But they do have a tremendous promotion scheduled for the 23rd of next month, when after the ball game, they're going to show The Sandlot on the Jumbotron.
A cinematic classic.
How about that?
You going to go?
Hell no.
Didn't think so. Jeff Passan, by the way, at 3 o'clock. He doesn't think Chris Bryant's a superstar. We'll discuss that. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Jeff Passan coming up at 3 o'clock. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Can't do it at 4. Start thinking of your questions. John Paxson scheduled for the 4 o'clock hour as well. Dan Plesac might stop by. We got a busy show today.
Yeah. Daniel call. I don't know if he's going to stop by. I think he's just going to call. Oh, there's a sour face thrown at me.
Totally worth it for that correction, Mac. Totally worth it. Totally worth it. Hey, you've been writing, which is what you do when you have no voice.
Yeah.
So I have not read your Ten Commandments yet for football gambling, but I could use some because I lose often.
Yeah, well, I lost for 20 years. And what you can read right now at 670thescore.com, how I stopped losing money for 20-plus years.
So you're a winning gambler?
The last 3 years, 4 years maybe in the NFL, yes. I have been in the black for 4 consecutive years.
Wow.
Unfortunately, not decidedly. I haven't gotten back everything I gave away between 92 and 2012 or 2013, but
wow!
After getting hit on the head a bunch of times, you learn to be a little bit more disciplined. And since so many people, now that the pathway has been cleared for legalized sports gambling in America, I know some folks who are concerned that those with a penchant for reckless behavior will be lining up to pee away their college money for their children or their mortgage payment. So, a little advice for the beginning gambler. That's what I tried to do. Football wagering, specifically, because that's pretty much all I get into.
Yeah. Okay, so thou shalt establish a budget.
That's the most important thing.
That makes sense. Thou shalt not chase. I don't like that one. You got to lose a noon slate. I don't know how you don't fire away at 3:25 or 7:15, personally.
That's how it snowballs.
Thou shalt never utter the term house money. Explain that one.
You don't believe in house money. You don't. If you go 2-0 at noon, and then Chargers and Raiders are kicking off. Hey, I got a thought. I like the Raiders in this one. Don't do that. Don't look at it as money that was for you. Earned that money, and don't be afraid to put it in your pocket, because you know what? You don't lose what you don't put on the table. I learned that in Rounders.
Can't win much either. Warren Buffett says, reinvest your profits. I don't know. Question of these commandments. Thou shalt not bet with the heart.
That's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that one. Thou shalt not, and sometimes you should bet against your heart, because you know the team that you root for most, so you get that extra knowledge. I'll bet against my team, no problem.
I will bet against every – I've never bet against the Blackhawks, ever. But I bet against every other team in town.
Thou shalt not make more than 5 plays weekly. That's ridiculous.
That's, I know, it's too high of a number. It should be three, with the goal being win two out of three.
Thou shalt not guess just to have act. Man, I'm...
Well, I do give you an out in that one on playing just to have action.
Yeah.
Make it a lunch money bet. That's it. You know, don't use your usual...
Yeah, if you bet $50 a game, put $10, $20 on
That's right. Just something, you know?
Thou shalt not lean on trends. Thou shalt not forget the calendar. Forget the calendar. What does that mean?
January should never sneak up on you. If you want money for the playoffs, be guarded in December. If you, you know, if your budget is already, if you're already approaching what your budget is for the year and it's week 11, hit the brakes.
This is a good piece. I enjoy this. People should read this at 670thescore.com. He's got full paragraphs on there explaining
all
this.
How about that? Full paragraphs.
This is good. 10 of them. Ten
commandments. I thought that there should be 10. Yeah.
Thou shalt listen to but not follow the crowd. Makes sense. Thou shalt play extremely guardedly the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, last year you could have said the first 6 weeks of the season. The first month of the NFL last year was a disaster for most players. I was among them.
I
got it back.
I did not know that you are now an in-the-black sports gambler the last four football seasons.
Yeah, four football seasons, right. And that's tremendous. I'm not talking about huge pots of money either.
No, you're talking about 55% or more.
Yeah, yes. And that's the goal. You know, if I can make $2,000 in a football season, I'm happy with that. Because I get enormous enjoyment out of watching the NFL. That's why I sometimes make moves just to have action. But I'm trying to keep those to lunch money plays. That's it.
Yeah, I follow at most two or three of those commandments. I'm like, oh, NFL's back week one. Every game.
Right.
Let's go.
It's hard not to. You're so pumped.
It's really, really hard not to.
The ball's going in the air at noon and I'm sitting here without action? What's wrong with me? That's un-American.
I'm enjoying seeing a little bit of football on my Twitter timeline today. Bears minicamp going on. Roquan Smith, et cetera.
We've had so much else going on lately with the NBA draft lottery last night and, of course, Cubs. Cubs are going to be, you know, front page news all summer. Because they got a shot to win a championship. But the Bears are going to be busy this weekend. And we'll check in probably tomorrow, maybe on Friday's show with some of our Bears people to find out what they're learning in Lake Forest.
Yeah, whenever there's news, we'll bring people on. Jeff Passan apparently claims Chris Bryant is not a superstar. He has a tremendous suggestions for baseball, for legalized gambling to help save the sport of baseball. Not that it really needs saving, but to improve it. Robinson Cano, did he ruin his shot at the Hall of Fame? We got a lot to get into with Jeff Passan coming up on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.